Well, good morning and welcome to Fellowship Christian Reformed Church here in Toronto. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship here on this Epiphany Sunday, that Sunday where we transition from the Christmas season to the Sundays of Epiphany, still remembering very much our Lord Jesus, our light of the world. And later on in the service, Dirk Bui will be preaching to us. He has a special Epiphany message for us as we celebrate this Epiphany Sunday today. So thank you for coming to worship our great God, and we look forward to worshiping together at this time. Hear this greeting from the Lord. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Let's worship God together. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come, come. Hear now our call to worship. May the light of God's love push back the darkness.
We come to the light from the four corners of the earth, from the north, south, east, and west. But we are all one in Jesus Christ.
We come from many nations and cultures.
But we are all one in Jesus Christ.
We come seeking the light that guides us to life.
But we are all one in Jesus Christ.
Let us lift up our many voices and praise the God of all people.
Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, for your light is come, the glory of the Lord is upon you. The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, O Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Arise, shine, for your light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you.
We now enter into a time of confession, which we can do with assurance that we have a God who loves us and forgives us. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and one another in our actions and in our inactions. We recognize that in Jesus Christ our light has come. Yet often we choose to walk in shadows and ignore the light. Gracious God, forgive our sins and remove the veil of darkness that shrouds our lives. Illumined by your word and sacrament, may we rise to the radiance of Christ's glory. Amen.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not turn our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh, God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
Hear now the assurance of pardon. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we have been made right with God. We go, therefore, with the Holy Spirit, and we sin no more. Amen.
Good morning. As you've heard, my name is Dirk Boy, and I'm a member of this church, Fellowship Christian Reformed Church, and it's great to be with you this morning. What an honor it is to open God's Word together and to hear what He has to say to us. We're going to read from Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 2 and go through to verse 12. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Ephesians 3. Verses 2 through 12. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we've already heard, today is the first Sunday of Epiphany. And actually, Epiphany was on Wednesday, January 6th this week, in the middle of this week, which unfortunately will always be remembered for a different reason this year. As I watched the mob attack the capital of American democracy this past week, two pictures will forever be etched in my mind. One is the person who was waving the Confederate flag as he ran through the Capitol building. That flag is truly a symbol of privilege and racism. And secondly, was another person waving another flag outside, and it was a Christian flag with the symbol of the fish on it and Jesus written in the middle of that fish. Another reflection of how distorted the gospel message can actually become for some. Perhaps, in a strange sort of way, it was an epiphany. As one of my American friends quoted to me this week, something that he had heard, sometimes you get where you're going. Sometimes you get where you're going. Traditionally, this Sunday would have been usually focused on the three kings. The three kings who came to see baby Jesus. And when I was growing up, this always confused me. Weren't the three kings present in the nativity scene and therefore part of Christmas? And haven't we been done with Christmas? Haven't we cleaned it all up already by now? Why aren't we moving on? This is now January 10. And later, as I got older, I became even more confused. I learned that these three kings were not really kings after all. And by the way, they may not have been male either, but probably priests from Persia who studied astrology. And it's likely that there were more than three of them. In fact, tradition has it that there were three because the Bible mentions three gifts. And finally, probably they came to see Jesus when he was between the age of 1 and 2 years old. So what were they doing in all those nativity scenes? Scholars suggest that over time that it was really a matter of convenience that put these two items together. Artists who drew adoration scenes found it easier to put the shepherds alongside with the Magi as a mutual acknowledgement of the incarnation of God. All those nicely sculpted nativity scenes, and by the way, Nell, thank you for all those that you gave to us, they look better when there's colorful, exotic kings of the East in them. And besides, Matthew, the only gospel writer who records the visit of the Magi, describes them as the first visitors to recognize the baby Jesus as King of the Jews, worthy of worship. And this is reinforced by the possible meaning of those three gifts. Gold was a gift for a king, thus acknowledging Christ's kingship. Frankincense was used in worship, signifying that Christ was to be worshipped. And myrrh was used in burials, showing what was to happen to Christ and pointing to his death. But Epiphany isn't so much about the Magi, and it isn't so much that they recognize that this baby as promised in the Messiah was the promised Messiah. It was so much bigger than that, as our reading today from Paul's letter to the Ephesians suggests. Epiphany is defined as a revelation, an insight, an inspiration, an intuitive perception, the discovery of something that is essential, its meaning. It's not something new, by the way. It's the realization or understanding of something that was there all along. Although the word isn't used much today, but if somebody said, I had an epiphany the other day, we could understand that to be an aha moment, a sudden realization moment. As Christians, we understand epiphany to be the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. It's the recognition that the Savior came, that he came for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. In our reading today, Paul would say that it is to make plain the mystery that through faith in Christ, everyone may approach God in freedom and in confidence. Now, to be honest, I really haven't paid much attention to Epiphany in the past. After Christmas, we normally just move on quickly with the life of Christ in the church calendar as we prepare for upcoming Lent. However, historically, Epiphany was actually a much more important celebration in the church, in the early church. Actually, it was even more important than Christmas and only came second to Easter. Where Christmas celebrated the incarnation of Christ, Epiphany celebrates why God did that. Christmas is a historical event, the birth of baby Jesus. Epiphany is a realization that God is with us today. Going back in our reading, it's finally recognizing God's plan for your and my salvation. Allow me to reread a couple of verses where Paul says why he is writing this, so that we will be able to understand the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to men and women in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit. And through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body and sharers together of the promise of Christ Jesus. Paul talks about this as a mystery that is finally figured out. It's that aha moment. Now, the mystery, the word mystery is used 28 times in the New Testament, four of which are found in our passage today. Paul uses it again another 10 times in other letters that he has to others, other churches, and about the same message, God's redemptive plan for everyone. But why is this a mystery? Why was it kept hidden in God? Perhaps part of the reason is that Israel, who was waiting the Messiah, the long-awaited promised Messiah, who would free them from the oppression and establish the throne of David, had finally come. They believed, as some still do today, that the promises to Abraham, the covenant with Israel, the word of the prophets, were all for the chosen people of Israel. But God had a bigger plan. With our New Testament lenses on, we can see that the Old Testament provides us with hints to God's plan. Right from the beginning, Genesis 12, verse 3 records the call of Abraham when God says that he will make them into a great nation in which all peoples of the earth will be blessed. The Psalms predict that David's line will produce an eternal king to which all kings and all nations will bow and serve. Isaiah prophesied that all mankind together will see the glory of the Lord when it is revealed. And Jeremiah introduces God as the Lord, the God of all mankind. And these are just to name a few. In a blog post on the Calvin Sems site, Stan Mass asks the question, which mystery is Paul talking about here in Ephesians? Is it the mystery of incarnation, which is his birth? Or is it the mystery of his atonement, which is his death? Or could it be the mystery of indwelling, his spirit living in us? No, it's more than that. It is God's intent all along that the Messiah would be for everyone. In fact, Paul gets even more specific. The mystery is that God has intended that his church, which is the body of believers, both Jews and Gentiles alike, would be the vehicle through which the truth of the gospel would be made known to everyone. This was God's plan right from the beginning. Oh, what a mystery. Oh, what an epiphany. The mystery of the gospel is embedded throughout the Christian message. God's abounding love, his compassion, his marvelous grace are unfathomable to us. They are truly a mystery. Richard Rohr says that Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about us. He'd already done that already a long time ago. But he came to change our minds about God. The God of the universe wants a personal relationship with you and with me. What a mystery. So, what's our response to that? Paul puts it simply, have faith in Christ. The epiphany is that Christ offers you and me a path to approach God with freedom and with confidence. I'm not sure I understand that mystery fully, but Paul is telling us simply to have faith and live with the fact that it truly is a wonderful mystery. Unfortunately, the church's tendency has been to break that mystery down and try to explain some of it through doctrines and through beliefs. But rather than build an understanding of it and build unity, it's only led to splits and more misunderstandings in the broader Christian family. Wikipedia lists 27 major branches of the Christianity, and there are likely thousands of spin-offs from that. Just look at our own Reformed tradition right here in Canada. Christian Reformed, Canadian Reformed, United Reformed, etc. Why do we continue to define ourselves by our own unique interpretations of Scripture instead of our mutual awe and wonder of God's love and His grace, His mystery of His the mystery of His redemptive plan for us? Do we need another aha moment as a church, an epiphany, to remind ourselves that God's plan is bigger than our own insignificant understandings? Although I grew up in the CRC tradition, I have spent much of my adult life in non-denominational settings of the church, where people from all different walks of the Christian tradition come together to worship Christ. I've learned that there are very few non-negotiables in the gospel, and that the rest are really our own lines drawn in the sand. I've learned that faith means living with mystery and with paradox. Epiphany is a message of inclusivity. Christ offers the way to God for a multiracial, multi-ethnic, multinational, and totally inclusive church. God wants a relationship with the rich and with the poor, the old and the young, the healthy and the unhealthy, the able and the disabled, the gay and the straight, you and me. Christ came for all. However, I feel that sometimes we spend more energy on who's excluded from God's kingdom than on the message of Epiphany, which welcomes all to faith in Christ. The church is good at setting up roadblocks for anyone who thinks or acts or understands differently than our own version of the truth. And lest we think that the Christian Reformed Church is any better than the rest and that we're free of these biases, just have a look at the reports going to Synod this year. Just like the Jews in the early church, we need to be careful that our own rules and regulations, our own carefully thought out doctrines and understandings and beliefs don't exclude true seekers and followers of Christ. Jane Frost, our council chair here at Fellowship, recently shared an article with the council that quoted telling new findings for the church attendance. This was done for the United States, but I'm sure it's true for Canada as well, during the COVID crisis. According to a recent poll, 22%, that's more than one in five people, of church-going Christians have stopped going to church of any kind, including digital. More concerning is that 50% of millennials said they stopped going to any type of church. That means half of the millennials that were going to church are no longer going to church of any kind, including digital church. Not only are many churches not attracting new members, they're quickly losing the ones that they have, especially from the next generation. And we know this to be true here in Fellowship as well. What's happening? Obviously, this is a big question, and it's worthy of a lot more time than we can give it today. But our passage reminds us that the mystery of God's intent, the epiphany, is that the church is the vehicle through which God's love is shown in Christ, and it is to be made known to all people. We need to ask ourselves as a church today Are we acting as that vehicle for God's purpose, or are we a hindrance? Do we create roadblocks, our stumbling blocks? Are we inclusive, gracious, and loving? Like the epiphany for the Israelites, that the Messiah came for the Jews and the Gentiles alike, does the church need an epiphany today that a reminder that God's kingdom is bigger than we think? Our message today is simple. Through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. Period. It's as simple as that. Salvation has nothing to do with doctrines, rules, regulations, what political party you support, your sex, your gender, your race, your sexual orientation. So if you are new to the message of Christ, Christ loves you and welcomes you. For those of us who are already Christ's followers, perhaps the message is a simple reminder that God sets the standards for his kingdom. When Jesus came into the world as a human child, Epiphany was the realization that the long-awaited Messiah came for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Perhaps the Epiphany for the church today is the reminder that Christ's offer of salvation is not bound by any human construct or understanding, but by the mystery of God's redemptive plan. Later we'll celebrate communion, which is also described as a mystery in this service. So let's remember that what Christ did for us, that everyone who has faith can approach him, God, with freedom and with confidence. Epiphany celebrates the fact that God welcomes you to his table. Amen.
Thank you, Dirk. Let's continue to sing about Jesus who welcomes us.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross, suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise Father, forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. This is your God.
Please join me as we have a time of congregational prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning with gratefulness in our hearts that you have made your mystery known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can approach you with freedom and confidence, knowing that you planned it right from the beginning. We praise and worship you as our God. Lord, we pray for your church. May it be an inclusive, welcoming place for all those who truly seek you. Help us to live with mystery in faith. Forgive us when we have excluded or pushed away people through our own human understandings, and help us to remember that you welcome all who have faith in you. We pray for an epiphany, an aha in this church, in the church around us today, that opens our eyes to the mystery of your plan for all peoples and nations. We pray for our neighbors to the south during this difficult time. We pray for peace and unity. We pray for an orderly transition of power, and especially for the new leaders coming in. Give them strength and wisdom to heal that nation. And Lord, we pray for our country, Canada, as it struggles through the pandemic. The numbers are growing from bad to worse, and we wonder how this will ever get back to normal again. Many of us are tired and fed up with the lockdown. We miss our families and friends. Help us, Lord, as we work our way through this. Bless our leaders. Give them strength to do what's needed to protect our communities. And Lord, we pray for an end to this. We pray that the vaccinations may reach those who need it, and that all of us may soon be vaccinated, and that because of the efforts of everyone around us, this pandemic may stop. We pray especially for the poor and for those who suffer the most through this time. Father, we pray for Fellowship Church. Thank you that Dirk Rokema's treatment is going well. Continue to give him strength and healing as he continues his journey through treatments. And we pray for Alice. We ask that you will give and provide her with strength and courage. Lord, help her body to adjust to a new diet, and we pray that she can be free from pain and discomfort. Surround her with love and care and hope. We lift her up to you, O Lord. We pray for Willie and Betty and Lindsay and Bill as they heal and get better. Bless all those who are feeling down and lonely during this time of lockdown, and help us to support each other during this time, Lord. Finally, Lord, we're thankful for the mystery of your table. Thank you for inviting us to remember you through this sacrament, and we pray that we will be once again reminded of your grace and love in our lives. Bless us in the week that is ahead of us, and may we be a blessing to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to announce that our offerings for today, this Sunday, are two, and the first one is for the church and its ongoing ministry, and the second one is for the St. James Food Bank, which is a food bank just down the road from us, and that meets, and it opens up every Wednesday in a service to the local community, providing much-needed food and support to families in need, especially during this time of COVID. The instructions for how to give are in our bulletin and on our website, and we look forward to you blessing these ministries and the way that God has blessed you. Thank you.
It's now our privilege to turn our attention to the table of the Lord, so I'll give you a few seconds to go and get the bread and the juice or wine that you have prepared. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is our joy and peace at all times and in all places to give thanks to you, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Christ our Lord. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. We thank you that you did not abandon us in our rebellion against your love, but sent prophets and teachers to lead us in the way of salvation. Above all, we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to deliver us from the way of sin and death by the obedience of his life, by his suffering upon the cross, and by his resurrection from the dead. We praise you that he now reigns with you in glory and ever lives to pray for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth, defends us in adversity, and out of every people unites us into one holy church. Therefore, with the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we worship and glorify you, God most holy, and we sing with joy, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We give thanks to God our Father, that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of sacrifice. Until he comes again, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim that our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father into the world, and that he took upon himself our flesh and blood and bore our sins on the cross. We confess that he was condemned to die that we might be pardoned and suffered death that we might live. We proclaim that he is risen to make us right with God, and that he shall come again in the glory of the new creation. This we do now until he comes again. Heavenly Father, show forth among us the presence of your life-giving word and Holy Spirit to sanctify us in your whole church through this sacrament. Grant all who share the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ may be one in him and may remain faithful in love and hope. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, so we eat the bread now with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, our head, for making us one in your body, by your work on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins. And just as these grapes from many hills are poured into one cup, so we take the cup together as one people And we thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed for us because of your love, because you have loved us and accepted us and called us to yourself. So grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. And now, as our Savior has taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we prepare to leave this time of worship, hear now God's invitation into a life of Christian discipleship. As you have seen the light of Christ, shine the light in the darkness. As you have been set free, go and set free the imprisoned. As you have received, give to others. As you have heard, proclaim the good news. Receive this blessing from the Lord. To God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Go in his light this week. And all God's people say, Amen.
The light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, as I gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
And as we go, just one announcement, just a reminder of what we wrote in the bulletin, that this whole month we'll be focusing on worship, on how we can better and more from our hearts worship the Lord. And we have many opportunities afforded to us by this pandemic over the internet on new ways to worship God. So I challenge you to two things. One is to find an expression of worship that you would never have taken part in before. Find it over the internet and participate in that. Maybe go to the Calvin Symposium for Worship and find an opportunity there. But do that this week. And secondly, as you explore worship and think about worship, ask yourself, what creative gifts has God placed in me that I might better worship him and bring to the church that we might worship him together? So go and worship God together this week. Thank you.